Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message. Good morning and happy new year. Welcome to 2015, the year of Back to the Future 2. I hate to be a Debbie Downer though, but I'll tell you what, I'll be honest, I was a little disappointed with 2015. I mean, all I'm going to say is where's the hovercraft, right? Where's the hoverboard? And the chances of the Cubs winning the World Series? Well, I guess there's a chance, but we're probably going to say that's not going to happen. So I was a little disappointed when 2015 jumped in. But then on New Year's Day there, the Buckeyes, they pulled the win, got the win over Alabama. So it cheered me right up. Let me know that 2015 is going to be a great year. Come on now. But anyways, just hope you had a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we're coming off this crazy season. I'm sure many of you guys are looking forward to this new year. You're looking forward to getting back into this routine. I think there's always something nice about a new year. It's always a chance to kind of start over, right? And there's that excitement, that nervousness, but it's that good kind of nervousness. It's where we can get into these new, maybe better routines, maybe a chance to create new goals as well. I think New Year's is always fun because it is. It's just that fresh start. And oftentimes we do this with New Year's resolutions. But as you just saw in that little video, New Year's resolutions don't always work. In fact, 87% of adults make New Year's resolutions, but 50% of the resolutions will fail by the end of January. So looking at that, I thought I'd go with a top 10 resolutions from 2014, from last year, of what resolutions may or may not have worked. But here's the top 10 New Year's resolutions from 2014. Number 10 was spend more time with family. Number 9 was to fall in love. Number 8 was to help others in their dreams. Number 7 was to quit smoking. Number 6 was to learn something exciting. Number 5 was to stay fit and healthy. Number 4 was to enjoy life to the fullest. Number 3 was to spend less and save more. And number 2 was to get organized. And then the number 1 was to lose weight. So these are resolutions, but today, instead of talking about resolutions, I'm going to talk to you about this concept of one word. And this is actually coming from this book here that I have right here. But it's a book that I want in a leadership blog that I subscribe to, but it's a great read. And I wanted to encourage you maybe to read it if you get a chance. And in fact, I'm going to loan out this book at the end of the service to the first person who says they want to borrow this book as well. I'll loan this out. And there is also a devotional based on this book. It's on the YouVersion Bible app. If your goal is to get back into the Word, get back more into the Bible, I would challenge you to download this Bible app. There's also different devotionals that you can go forth and kind of set up each day. But there's this one word devotional that you can use as well. But I want to share this concept of this one word with you today. So we're going to talk about how we can experience true life change by focusing on one word. How we can focus on just one word for this next year. And if you think about it, the goal of a resolution, right? The goal of a resolution is life change. But so many times I don't think resolutions necessarily work because it never really sinks into our hearts. It's just a good intention. It's nothing that we ever let settle in. Oftentimes, these resolutions, they don't sink in because our goals for these resolutions that we set, we're setting our to-do goals, but not necessarily to-be goals. Often our goals, we set our to-do goals, not to-be goals. And then we measure these goals by what we accomplish instead of who we really become. I think the most important part of life change is who we become. The most important part of life change is that change of heart. And when we focus on one word, it allows us to remain focused in on this change of heart. Oftentimes, I think resolutions can easily be forgotten. But if it's just one word, it's something that we can keep in our mind always. It all comes down to this one word. If you think about it, think about how powerful a word can be. We can be inspired by a word. We can be encouraged by a word. Words can build relationships. If you think about it, words are really what make us who we are today. So the challenge for you today is to narrow our goals for this next year into one word. And I think this is an exercise that brings simplicity and it brings focus to our life. If you look at it, this one word is going to be different for everyone. This one word that we're chasing after for 2015, it'll be different for everyone. It could be anything from love, could be anything from giving, the word courage, maybe it's health, maybe it's overcomer, discipline, effective, whatever it is, the list could go on and on and on. And each of you will, you have a different word. But I think this one word could be what makes you have an incredible year. Instead of making a resolution, instead of chasing after a to-do goal, today I want to challenge you to focus in on one word and then live it out. Make it a to-be goal instead of a to-do goal. Because this one word could have an impact on our life. It could have an impact on our 2015. It can impact us spiritually. It can impact us physically, emotionally, relationally. It can impact us mentally and financially as well. Because this one word, it can give you this clarity and the focus that will allow you not only just to accomplish what you want done in your lives, but it will allow you to become who you want to become. And this clarity and this focus, it's exactly what Jesus modeled all throughout his ministry. If you would, we're going to check out this story and found in Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 25. And this is where Jesus brings this clarity and focus to a rich young ruler. Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 22. It says, a certain leader asked Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to have life forever? Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? Only God is good. You know the commands. You must not be guilty of adultery. You must not murder anyone. You must not steal. You must not tell lies about your neighbor. Honor your father and mother. But the leader said, I've obeyed all these commands since I was a boy. When Jesus heard this, he said to them, there's still one more thing you need to do. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. So in this passage of scripture, here's Jesus, and he's talking to this rich young ruler, a guy from the outside. He looks to have it all, right? He's a rich young ruler. He's full of money. He has power. He has youth. But here's this guy. He's still searching for a purpose. He's still seeking after life change. He's obeying all the commands. He's doing everything right that he needs to do. He's checking all the items off the to-do list. He's checking all the items off the not-to-do list as well, right? But he's still not content. Here's the type of guy who's probably actually achieving all his resolutions, but there's still something missing. There's still something lacking. So he goes to Jesus and he asks, what do I need to do? And Jesus replies, he says, there's still one thing. If you look at this one thing, it's not really a to-do item, but it's a to-be item. This one thing is a heart issue. He tells this rich young ruler to sell everything he has and to follow him. So here's Jesus. He's basically summing this whole problem up that this rich young ruler has, and he's summing it up with one word. He's saying, follow. And for the rich young ruler, this is one of the hardest things that he could have ever have done. He had to give up everything, right? He had to give up everything that he was in order to follow. He was a ruler. He's used to people following him. And what's incredible about this story is that this rich young ruler was not able to do it. And then you never hear about this rich young ruler again. But if the point of the story I want to get to is if you look at what Jesus did, is he brought so much clarity to the problem. He brought this precise focus by narrowing it all down into just one thing. And he does this throughout his ministry. He demonstrated this again in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 39. Here's where Jesus, he brings clarity to the commandments of God in Matthew 22, 36 through 39. Says, teacher, which command in the law is the most important? And Jesus answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and most important command. And the second command is like the first. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. In this passage of scripture, here's Jesus. He's talking to the religious leaders. And the religious leaders were there actually trying to trap Jesus. But because of Jesus' focus, because he was able to focus in on this one thing, he was able to bring clarity even to the religious leaders. He sums up basically what the religious leaders had spent their entire life studying, what the religious leaders had spent their entire life teaching. He sums it up really, if you look at it in one word, he sums it up with the word love. Jesus was able to do this throughout his ministry. He brought clarity and focus in to everything that he was doing. So today we're going to look at this and how we can model this in our lives, how we can find focus, how we can find our one thing, our one word for this next year. So let's jump in. And I think it starts with this. It starts with looking in. Looking in and preparing our heart. In order to find this focus, in order to find this one word, I think we need to look in and prepare our heart. And to do this, I think we can model Jesus again, because Jesus again was the most in tune person with God's purpose. And he did this by preparing his heart. He knew exactly what he was supposed to do. He knew the purpose he had. He knew the purpose that God had for him, but he did this by preparing his heart, preparing himself. And he did this by spending time alone with God. You see this all throughout the Gospels. And again, the Gospels are just the account of Jesus's life and ministry from different people's perspectives. But we see this throughout the Gospels where Jesus would get alone and spend some time with God. He would get away from everything else and spend time with God. In Mark 1:35, it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." And then again in Matthew 14:23, it says, "After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone." And then the passage of scripture, which we're going to study a little bit today in Luke 22:39-44. Luke 22:39-44. It says, "Jesus left the city and went to the Mount of Olives, as he often did, and his followers went with him. When he reached the place, he said to them, 'Pray for strength against temptation.' Then Jesus went about a stone's throw away from them, and he kneeled down and prayed. He said, 'Father, if you are willing, take this cup of suffering, but do what you want, not what I want.' Then an angel from heaven appeared to him to strengthen him. And being full of pain, Jesus prayed even harder. His sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground." If you look at this passage of scripture, it takes place right before Jesus was arrested and taken away to be crucified. And Jesus knew what was about to happen. He had actually just spent his last supper with his followers, and he was pretty descriptive in telling them what was about to happen. But Jesus continues to prepare his heart. He continues to get alone with God. It says he went about a stone's throw away from them, removing himself from them so that he could get alone with God and focus back on his one purpose. He removes himself from others, and he removes the distractions, goes off to himself, and he prays so hard that really the only voice that he can hear is God's voice. He's seeking after just his Father's voice, just after God's voice. And he does this by removing himself from all the distractions. I think a key to focus is removing the distractions. I think so many times in our life, there's so many distractions. How many of you have distractions in your life? I know for me, for an example, for me, Sarah and I, my wife Sarah, some of our best conversations, they used to be in our car while we're taking a drive. We could drive and have some of the best conversations. But then we had these two distractions. I mean, these two kids, right? With these two kids. So for now, it's impossible for Sarah and I to carry a conversation on in our car because we have these two kids. We have these two distractions. The conversation in our cars now, they're terrible. They're all chopped up. They end up because there's kids like throwing shoes around. There's kids taking their socks off. There's crazy songs on the radio that's just blaring about how Noah's built an arky-arky out of gopher barky-barky. Right? There's kids. There's this little boy. He's my son. He's about a year old. He's screaming in a language that's really not even that close to English. Then my three-year-old daughter, she's playing this game of 4,000 questions. She's trying to talk over us. It's almost impossible to carry a conversation on the car now with Sarah and I because we have these distractions. So in order for her and I to carry a conversation, we have to remove these distractions. Now, we can't necessarily remove our kids, but what we can do is we can remove ourselves from that. So we can't have our conversations in our car anymore. We typically now have our conversations later at night while the kids are asleep, while there's no more distractions. We have to remove ourselves from these distractions. I think the same thing is so true in connecting with God and preparing our hearts for what he has for our lives. Sometimes we need to remove ourselves from the distractions in our lives. Sometimes we even need to remove the distractions from our life as well. For this could mean for us that we need to unplug, right? Maybe we need to turn off the TV. We need to shut down the computer. It means maybe there's no music, maybe no phone. Maybe turn off that to-do list that we have that's going on in our head, right? Those voices in our head. We need to turn that off and remove those distractions. think sometimes the best way we can connect with God is by removing ourselves from everything else. And this is how we can truly prepare our hearts for what God has for us, for that one word that God has for us, that one thing that God wants us to focus in on. We can remove ourselves from everything else and get alone with God. Because out of that silence, I think, comes power. If you look at Jesus fully understood this. He removed himself from everything else, and he would go to God, and he could find power in that silence, and that power to focus, that power to listen, that power to be present and to be attentive. When we remove ourselves, we have the power where we can really plan and prepare our hearts. And when we do this, I think we need to ask ourselves three simple questions. When all the distractions are removed in our lives, I think we need to ask ourselves three simple questions. First, what do I need? We need to ask God, what do I need? What area of my life do I need to God? What area of my life do I need God to show up the most in? What area of my life do I need to release completely to him? What do I need? Number two, we need to ask, what's in my way? What's keeping me from accomplishing what God has for me? What's in my way? What am I holding back from God? What's in my way? And then number three, what needs to go? Think about, what can I do without? What's in my life that maybe is not a part of his plan? Maybe even who's in my life that's not a part of his plan? But what needs to go? And we do this by removing the distractions and preparing our hearts for what God has for us. And these questions, they get to the why behind our one word. They get to the why behind our purpose. And the why is always more important than the what. I think we get to the why by preparing our heart. I think often, too many times, we shoot at a target without really even knowing why we're shooting at it. I think in our lives, we get trigger happy. We're just doing things. Maybe we're even doing things that we're not supposed to do. Maybe we're chasing after goals that were really not even meant for us. I think oftentimes we get trigger happy in our life. We're shooting for this target without really even knowing why we're shooting at. We're trying to do things maybe just because other people are doing things, right? Maybe we see a neighbor or something. They go on a vacation. So the next thing you know, our goal is to go on that same exact vacation. Maybe we see our parents buying a better home or a different home. So we feel like maybe we need to buy that home as well. Maybe we see our friends driving a new car. So we all of a sudden feel like we need to get a new car. We do these things without really even knowing why we're doing them, maybe just because others are doing them. Maybe we do things because we think others think that we're supposed to do them, or maybe because others told us to do that, right? But when we do this, we end up having no purpose. We have no focus. All we've really done is we've stayed busy and we remained active. And activity does not mean achievement. So let me ask you, when was the last time you slowed down enough to find the why behind the what? Are there things in your life that you are just doing, but they really have no purpose? Are there some distractions in your life that you need to remove so that you can focus more on your family? Are there some distractions in your life that you could remove, that you need to remove so that you could focus more on your spouse? Are there some things in your life, distractions that you need to remove so that you could focus more on God and what he has for you? I think a lot of times we do these things really without planning or preparing properly. We miss out on the true purpose. We miss out on what God really wants us to do because we haven't removed those distractions to prepare our hearts. We haven't even asked God to be a part of that planning process as well. And then we go throughout life without really this without really having a complete purpose because we haven't allowed God to do what he wants to do in and through us. And it leaves us frustrated. It leaves us discouraged. And we often give up and we often fail. I love the quote from John Moon. It says, failing to prepare is preparing to fail. I think in our lives, we lose this focus because so many times we fail to prepare. And then what we're really doing is we're preparing to fail. We need to spend some time in our life by removing ourselves from the distractions and getting alone with God, by preparing our hearts for what God truly wants to accomplish us in us, and by sharpening who we are in him. Another quote I love from Abraham Lincoln says, if I had 8 hours to chop down a tree, I'd spend 6 hours sharpening my axe. You need to spend some time allowing God to sharpen your axe. Have you allowed God to be a part of your planning process? Have you prepared your heart to ask Him what He needs to do in your life? Have you prepared your heart to ask Him to help you in your physical struggles? Have you prepared your heart to ask Him to help you in your relational struggles? Maybe in your finances as well. Have you trusted Him first by tithing and then allowing Him to help you to get out of debt? I think the first step to accomplishing and to finding this one word, to finding this focus that Jesus had, is preparing our hearts for what God wants to accomplish in and through us. Then once we prepare our hearts, I think we need to look up and discover our word. Look up and discover your word. Look up and receive it. I think the greatest key to really discovering this one word, to discovering our greatest purpose, is to looking up and asking what God truly has for us. It's removing our own will and asking for His will to be done. It's going beyond just ourselves. It's going beyond our wants. It's going beyond our desires. It's going beyond our selfish motives. And it's fully looking up to God and allowing Him to be in control. Again, if you look at Jesus, this is exactly what He did. In Luke chapter 22, verse 42, it says, "Father, if you are willing, take away this cup of suffering, but do what you want, not what I want." Jesus knew what was about to happen at this point. He knew that He was about to suffer and then die and be crucified. But what does He do? He says, "God, your will be done." He says, "God, do what you want." He says, "God, basically, you know what? It'd be nice if I really didn't have to go through all this, but you know what? Let's still go with your plan." Because Jesus knew that God's plan was the most effective. And I think this is the point where we need to get to as well in our life. This is what we need to do in our life. We get to this point where we want His plan, His word for our lives, His word for this next year, His word for us each and every single day. We need to ask God what He wants to do in and through me. We need to accept and receive this word that He has for us so that we can continue to remain focused on His purpose. If you look at this word we're talking about, this one word concept, it's not really a word that we even create. It's not a word that we need to stress about or work towards to get. It's not a word that we're making up just to keep up with others, but it's a word that we receive from God. Because it's not just a good word, but it's a God word. And I believe that God has a word for each and every one of us. But I believe it starts by going to Him in prayer. It starts by going to Him and asking for His will to be done in our life. It starts by yielding to what He truly has for us. It starts by praying to Him and praying for His will to be done. I think for some of us, that means we really need to go to Him in prayer. That means maybe we even need to change the way we pray. I mean, think about it. Think if we prayed just like Jesus, where we earnestly sought after His will. Our prayer life, it would become so much more than just that wish list, right? Which is what it needs to be anyways. It needs to be a conversation with God, where God's really our guide for our life. And this is what He desires. He desires to direct us. He desires to direct us in and through His will. But to do this, we have to have that conversation with Him. A conversation where we're seeking after Him. Where we're spending time with Him, both talking to Him and listening. Because that's what prayer really is, right? Prayer is talking to God and giving Him the opportunity to speak to you as well. Prayer goes beyond just that, "Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your bountiful, blah, 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 hearketh, whatever." It goes beyond that, right? Prayer goes beyond just that list of items. But it goes into a complete conversation with God. And prayer should never be our last resort when we're in need, but it should always be our first response for the direction that we seek after. God wants to hear our heart, so we need to pray our heart. And then we need to allow Him to direct our heart. Because part of prayer is not even talking at all, but it's listening. I think most people talk to God, but few people listen to God. Prayer is a conversation between you and God. And it's an area where if we spend time in there seeking after God's will, we can discover what He truly has for us and we can receive it. This one word is a process where we're receiving this one word from God. And it should be filled with so much hope because it's God directing us in our life. This one word is different than a resolution, because oftentimes I think a resolution is filled with despair. Because when we make a resolution, it could lead to that regret of a failed accomplishment. But when we receive this one word, it's something that's fueled by faith. It's not forced by fear, but it's fueled by faith, and it should bring peace to us because it's what God is going to accomplish in us. It's who we are going to become through Him. When we focus on this one word, it's more about being. It's more about being than it is doing. It's more about who God's going to have you become than marking off a task. So have you asked God for His will to be done in your life? Have you asked God for His will to be done in your relationships? Have you asked God for His will to be done in your finances? Have you asked God for His will to be done in your workplace through you? I want to challenge you to seek after God's will and to place His will first. And I want to challenge you to receive God's word for you for this next year of your life. I believe that God may reveal this word to you even today, maybe even during the service, or may even be at another time as well. Maybe while you're reading your Bible, maybe while you're reading a devotional, maybe while you're just doing your everyday daily routine, maybe God will even speak to you in that still small voice. But you have to receive the one word. And then once you do, that's when we have to live it out. We have to look out and live it out. Again, if you go back to that passage of scripture in Luke 22, if you look at the context of where Jesus is, He's separating Himself from others to spend time with God. And it's right before He's taken away. In fact, the disciples were actually supposed to be on guard. They're supposed to watch after Him, but they fell asleep. And then the next thing you know, the soldiers, they arrest Jesus. They take Him to the high priest where they beat Him. And then they pass Him along to Pilate where they continue to beat Him and torture Him. And then He's eventually crucified. But here's Jesus. He was focusing in on the one thing God had for Him. He's focusing in on His purpose, which was to be the ultimate sacrifice. To be the ultimate sacrifice for us because we've sinned. Here's Jesus. He's focusing in on that. And then what's He do? He lives it out. He lives out the plan. He was tortured. He was crucified. Then He was resurrected from the dead. Resurrected from the dead. This was God's plan for Him. And He knew it. He knew exactly what God's will was. He knew that He was the ultimate sacrifice. He was the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. And He lived it out perfectly. He lived out His plan. Because He knew that His plan for His life was more than just about Him. It was for everyone else. It was for the whole world. And I think sometimes the word that we get from God, I believe that the word we get from God is more. It's more than just for us. It's more about reaching others. Now, our goal isn't to save the world from sin, right? Our goal isn't to live a perfect life because we can't do that. We've already messed up. But I think our purpose isn't meant for just us alone. I think we have to live it out because the life change that we experience through this one word, through focusing on this one word that God gives us, this life change is meant to be shared. It's meant to bring hope. It's meant to bring encouragement to others because we're all doing life together. So we need to connect. And we need to journey together through relationships. And much like Jesus, this one word that we have in our life, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy to accomplish. So we need others around us as well. Because the chances are when we try to complete and try to focus in on this one word and try to live it out, we're going to face obstacles. We're going to face things that we never anticipated. Because living out this one word is the hardest part. But God will give you the strength to do it. I love this. Story about Jesus again. If you go back to in Luke 22:43, here's Jesus. Right after He's saying that God's will be done, He's spending time alone with God. And it says, then an angel from heaven appeared to Him to strengthen Him. Here's Jesus knowing full well what this will was, full well what He's about to go through. And then an angel from heaven appeared to strengthen Him. I think if we spend time with God, if we continue to spend time with God, He will strengthen us to accomplish that one word in our life, to accomplish what He has for us. But we need to continue to pray. We need to continue to spend time with Him. And then we also need to put some practical methods in our life that allow us to accomplish, that will allow us to accomplish this, to allow us to remain focused in on this one word. Some of these practical methods are keeping this one word in front of us. keeping it in front of us. Because what gets your attention gets your focus. And what gets your focus gets done. So this one word, I think we need to write it down and keep it in a prominent place. For you, that may be your kitchen. Maybe that's your bathroom. Maybe that's your bathroom mirror, right? Maybe that's your car. Maybe it's your screensaver at work and your computer. Maybe it's the background picture on your phone. Whatever it is, you need to keep this one word in front of you. Someplace where you will see it every day. And then another practical way is to tell people around you. Tell your friends. Tell some of your family members. Tell some of your coworkers. Tell some people around you that are going to keep you accountable and that are going to encourage you to accomplish this word and become who God truly desires you to be. And since I'm telling you to tell people, right? Since I'm telling you to tell people this one word to keep them accountable, I'm going to share this with you. Since I have this concept and a head start on this concept, I'm going to share it with you. I'm going to be honest too. My one word, I started with this word endurance. But it was a word that I think I pretty much made up. It's a word that I pretty much mustered up myself. I kind of conjured up myself. But this word was endurance. And I kind of had some goals. I'm going to do a half marathon this year. My goal is to do a full marathon for the first time I've ever done a full marathon. I want to do this year as well. But so my word I thought was endurance. But the more I was praying through this and preparing this message, I felt God just tell me that that's not my word. But instead, my word's breakthrough. And the scary thing about a God word is that you don't necessarily know what it means fully. I don't necessarily know what the word breakthrough means in my life, but I do. I believe that God is going to work through this word. I believe he's going to work through the word breakthrough in me. He's going to work in me spiritually. I think he's going to work in me emotionally. I believe that he's going to work in me relationally, mentally, and financially as well. So I want to share that word, one word with you. And the interesting thing about one word is it's not just a win or lose. It's not just something we can put a check mark in a box and say done. It's not a set of to-do goals, but rather it's a to-be goal. So my challenge for you is this. Don't just check mark the box, but experience the journey. Because the process of one word, it's really all about that. It's all about that process. It's all about the journey. You're going to experience highs. You're going to experience lows. But it's all part of that process of who God truly wants you to become. So let this one word impact you. Let it impact you spiritually. Let it impact you physically. Let it impact you emotionally. Let it impact you relationally, mentally, and financially. And then measure what you have become. Let God work through this process to create life change. So today I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. Will you look in and prepare yourself for what God has for you this next year? Will you look up and receive that one word? And then will you live it out? Will you live out this one word? As I close and go to the response time, maybe today you're here and the word that you hear is relationship. I just went in by giving you an opportunity to start a relationship with God today. Maybe you're here and you never started a relationship, or maybe you had a relationship but you walked away. But God is calling you back to that today. I want to pray with you and I want to make it simple. With everybody's eyes closed and heads bowed, I'm just going to count to three. When I get to three, I just want to pray a simple prayer with you. One, everybody's eyes closed, heads bowed. Two, God is asking you to start a relationship with him today. Three, raise your hand. Cool. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son to die on a cross for me so that I can have a relationship with you. God, forgive me of all the mess ups that I've done and help me walk away from them. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you are listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.